Welcome to Home Lab Highlights, the show that surfaces practical home lab wins and useful self-hosted tools. Let's start with today's updates. Nextcloud's out with maintenance updates for three hub versions. If you're on Hub 25 Autumn, 26 Winter, or 26 Spring, you'll want versions 32.0.14, 33.0.8, and 34.0.3. They're calling these important bug fixes and security upgrades.
Good to see those moving. It's one of those chores you sometimes put off, but having a consolidated set makes it easier. Standard advice applies. Test first if it's critical, but these maintenance releases are generally solid.
Rust Desk now supports true unattended remote access on Wayland. Their blog says it's officially available.
That's welcome progress for managing Linux desktops remotely. The Wayland landscape's been patchy for remote tools, so Rust Desk bridging that gap is a solid step. It works with their self-hosted server option, too.
And a cautionary tale from Ars Technica. A PBS affiliate is fighting to recover 50 terabytes of archival data after their cloud storage provider, Open Source Storage, went defunct and ghosted them. The data's in an Iron Mountain data center, but OSS owns the hardware.
50 terabytes of local history just stuck. A judge ruled Iron Mountain has to hand over the physical devices, but the station needs a former OSS employee to help retrieve it within 30 days. Stark reminder about custody chains when outsourcing storage. The timeline's rough. The station paid OSS for years, then the company stopped responding. They discovered OSS had dissolved. The data includes decades of local footage, irreplaceable stuff.
Iron Mountain's position is contractual. They're holding drives as collateral for unpaid bills.
It's a nightmare that makes you double-check your own backup and exit strategies. Do you have a direct line to the physical media? Know the encryption keys? It's the extreme end of cloud is just someone else's computer, playing out in real time.
Let's talk about a tool update. Note Discovery just hit version 0.31.1.
Right, the self-hosted Notes app that works on a folder of plain Markdown files. MIT-licensed, single Docker container for the base.
This release leans into community. Big change is a new plugin system with a proper contract. Hooks declare what they can replace, plugins get context, and can serve their own endpoints.
They set up a plugins/contrib folder, so community submissions live there but won't load until you explicitly copy one in. Nice opt-in safety net.
First community plugin is already in, from Lubeda. It's an open task search that lists every note with an unchecked checkbox, handy for a personal knowledge base. Taps the existing search index so it's fast.
Beyond new features, solid fixes. Search was broken for partial words, Wikilinks had a 404 bug, note stats inconsistency, and a cores issue with wildcard origins.
Quality of life tweaks. Search needs at least two characters, mermaid diagrams load only on first view, static assets cached immutably per version. The mermaid change lazy loads that hefty library only if you use diagrams.
Projects hitting that phase where the core is stable and community can build on top. For a home lab, having notes as files you own with a clean interface that plugs into dashboards like homepage, it's compelling.
If you want an Obsidian-like experience, but in a Docker container you control, this is one to watch. File-based means you can use any other Markdown editor on the same folder.
Let's talk about a community project from a specific pain point.
Someone encountered a failed DIM on their Dell PowerEdge T1102 server running Proxmox.
The T1102, an old workhorse many have in a closet. When a DIM fails, the server might log ECC errors, but getting those reported through RAS daemon wasn't straightforward.
So they put together a toolkit on GitHub called Dell_PowerEdge_T1102_EDAC. It sets up kernel modules and config so RAS daemon can see and report hardware-detected ECC errors.
It goes further, enables ECC injection for testing. That's deliberately introducing memory errors to verify monitoring and alerting. The README walks through loading the specific i5400 EDAC kernel module for the T1102's Intel 5400 chipset.
It's the kind of deep system-level fix you get when someone hits the problem and documents the solution. If you still run one of these boxes, this is the difference between a cryptic light and a proper log entry.
Home lab ethos. You run into a problem with older gear, figure out the fix, and share it.
The repo includes a script for an ECC injection test. Flip a single bit in memory, see a corrected error pop up in logs. Great way to validate your monitoring pipeline. These older servers are still capable for home lab use. Low power draw, ECC memory, built like tanks. The main drawback is often lack of modern driver and monitoring support. Projects like this bridge that gap, extending useful life.
Quick tip, a simple way to get notified when Docker containers silently restart.
Good one.
Easy to miss when a container crashes and the orchestrator just brings it back up.
You can set up a script checking Docker events. Command Docker events dash filter event equals die dash format dash time dash actor.attributes name exited with code dash actor.attributes exit code streams exits. For a periodic check, a cron job using Docker PS-A looks for containers with a recent restart.
More direct, use Docker inspect output. Something like Docker inspect dash format dash name restarted dash restart count times $ Docker PS-AQ lists only containers that restarted at least once. Pair with a date check on start time for a basic health monitor.
If you use Prometheus and CAdvisor, this is built in. But for a lighter setup, a five-line bash script in a daily cron can catch silent failures before they become a problem. Key is looking at restart count and running status. If something's stuck in a loop, you want to know.
That's HomeLab Highlights for Friday. Until next time, happy hosting.